Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you establish all things according to your word. And as you continue, Father, to fulfill your word, we thank you, Father, your word is that which created this universe. So we continue to extol you. We continue to bless you. We continue, Father, to live by your word and your word alone. For it's your word that sustains all things in the universe and your word that gives life to us. Let your word be true, Father God, and let your word be fulfilled in every life. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And we have our second all-night, and there will be a third all-night this coming week. And I think just some reminders and announcement that this Sunday we'll still have the regular service here at 3 o'clock to around 6 o'clock. And then except that Ira and myself will be up in Canada. So we will broadcast the message back here. I think Cynthia and Lorna and Amy, the three of you, will be here with Ben. And Ben is going to make sure that we are shown up here on Sunday. So we broadcast, because it's the same time anyway in Toronto. So we broadcast there after you all have done your maybe one song and your communion and everything. Then when the signal is given, we broadcast from there. And then we're preaching from Canada also at 6:30 Canada time. And that's their Sunday service. They have an evening service. And then on a Monday morning, there's a Canada Bible study in Canada. We'll be back by Tuesday. And we have tried to do two things at one time. I told the Canadians that during this month, I'll appreciate one more time, and that was this coming Sunday. And the other thing is that on Monday, pray with us, we are doing radio recording. And so we are doing the radio recording for the message to go out on radio. And then from there, we'll look at TV recording. By the time I get back, but we see how the radio ministry goes for first, and then we look at the TV recording for different spots. And so I think we already booked the studio from 10 a.m. to about 3 p.m. In Canada. That's on a Monday. So that's why we're up there. But we're back here on Tuesday. Next week is my last week in this North America. And then I return back. My next trip back is in second last week of June in Canada, and then the last week of June to the first few days in July, we'll be back down here where there's a week of prayer meetings. And then on the 4th of July, we launch 2 weeks of miracle services from Monday to Friday. So that's our rough schedule here. And so between now and then, we are looking at different things. We thank those of you who have participated in the transition of ARUL to full-time. We are almost there. And with all the different people participating. And so I've told Ariel to get ready that of all things move, as the Lord is moving and blessing, that he should be full-time, earliest April, latest May. So that gives him about 3 full months to prepare for the miracle services here. And then we will fulfill the Lord's word. And remember, the Lord's word was that in July here will be the first part of the outpouring. So we need to, even though the Lord gave a prophetic word like that, remember, it's important to pray and fast and to prepare the way in fasting and prayer, because it is no ordinary outpouring you're looking at. We're looking at the beginning of the third day awakening. And so whatever the Lord has in mind, we need to fulfill and do. And also one thing, thank God, thank you for those of you who have been participating. Last week, we proclaimed a three-day fast, you remember, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we are fasting for Martin O'Malley. And we managed to drop out a letter with a little bit of addition. I think the letter got to him in time with the addition that we put some new things inside. And it's probably the letter that the Lord meant for him to receive and none other. And so today, and the last week when we were praying, Lorna had a vision that she was in front of his house or office, and she shook hands with him and sort of passed him a letter. And so when we were looking at that vision and wondering how to get in touch with him, I think all the fasting and prayer helps. And then looking at it, we got several ways to send it to him. But then looking through the vision again, I felt that Lona must fulfill the vision literally and go right to deliver the letter personally. And so in the end, we found a way to do that. And just today, I think Ira and Lona went along, and then they went to deliver the letter personally and met Martin O'Malley.
Wow.
And his family. So the letter was personally delivered. Thank you for the 3-day fasting, those of you online. I know Australia also fasted. And I remember Seb sent an email after that. And we were both laughing, man. Because we've been fasting so much. And because it was the first week after we broke our fast, and I only one day to eat. And that was, I remember that day very well. It was only on a Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday is my usual fast. And then we wanted to just fast one day for Martin and Smiley. And it was, 3 days. So 3 days means the whole week is gone. I only ate once last week. And rather a really good meal last week. And then, the 3-day fast helps. And then I remember I saw the email that Sebastian sent to all the Australian people to say 3-day fast. And Ben was joking. Ben said, you know, maybe they hear the message. And he'd say, you know, maybe we pretend not to hear the message. Because 3-day fast again. But they did a 3-day fast. And a 3-day fast did. And Then when Ariel confirmed that the letter was delivered, I saw in the spirit that when he read the letter, he was anointed to be the president of the United States. The anointing came on him. So we need to know that from the delivery of the letter today, continue to pray. All those things that are spoken, that is what's going to happen with Hillary and Bernie, is going to come to pass. In a very rapid, because once he's anointed, this is like the Old Testament, where remember the prophets used to anoint kings and all that, and that physical letter has to be delivered. And when it was delivered, the anointing came upon him. So it's like he was anointed to be the president of the United States for 2 terms to fulfill the prophecy. And so that's good. Those of you online, thank you for praying along. And those of you also who are online, being part of the transition to bring Ariel into full-time ministry, we praise God and thank God for that. But remember that whichever direction you give, wherever you give, we are putting all our resources to fulfill the prophecy. So that's why you find that online, you know, there are many, many modes of giving. And also remember this. In the first place, if everybody had been obedient, we wouldn't have to do that. In other words, if there had been an abundance. Remember the prophecy, the prophecy that we read, the download that Israel had. And the Lord says that there are those who are holding back the giving, not just for this occasion. But if there had been more than abundance, I would do it to Israel. If there more than abundance, even without all this project and all that, we have moved him to full-time already. We have desired that. And so all the online sections and all those things that are there, we are putting all our resources together to bring this about. And just so those of you here in North America to know that from our side, you know, since I came forth, we have not asked for a single love offering. Everything has been raised from the other side of the world. So it has cost us already nearly $20,000. Even before coming here, we had to register all the organization. That cost thousands of dollars. So remember, there are always ongoing expenses on all this, and we do not appeal for money at all on those things. But we want to carry on the work of the Lord. And so that's why when we launch into giving, I said to many, that although we launch into this area to help because of the word of prophecy, to help Israel transit, remember the bigger picture that is there. That's only one small step. Because the bigger picture is that we're going to actually take over this whole place. And another plot of land nearby. And so in the latest download that the Lord gave, the Lord showed that we actually have, there will only be 2 ministries. All full-time ministries will be under Johan Ministries. There's no other registration. So yes, it will be worked through there. So Israel, the 4, the 12, and any of the first generation or second generation that come into full-time will be under Johan Ministries. Of course, those who are doing the Exodus companies will have their own section that we will operate under. And then there's COG Church. So in one of the visions that Ira has had was he saw that we have $100 million in the bank, $50 million inside COG, $50 million Johan Ministries. And more or less like this whole place was purchased under Johan Ministries because Johan Ministries are doing training, Bible school, and all those things. And then the other place, which is, I think, 4,000 seating and half bill or something. And he saw that we purchased under Cathedral Glory. And all through the world, these two ministries work side by side. But remember, Johan is above the Cathedral Glory because Cathedral Glory gives the ties to Melchizedek. And that's the setup that is there. So these two organizations worldwide is what we are launching all the churches. Don't forget, see, people tend to be a short memory. Don't forget, the Lord also says that he would like to plant the church in Mexico and UK within this year. And it is actually my personal goal to plant 10 of the main offices or places we want to put the main 10 churches. All these take finances and money because whether we have a small group or large group, it takes expenses, costs, and all that to do all the 10 major churches. So I'm praying and hoping that we could do at least some footwork in a 10 so that people know these are the 10 places we will be having the mega churches. And then we launch off from there. And remembering the word of the Lord, Johan Ministries is that which we have wanted to bring Ariel under the full-time ministry. And all the 12 and all the full-time next time, one by one, they all have to go full-time. And other teams. Plus, we will have a full-time people under the church, which is a different section, which will operate like 24-hour worship centers and all those things, and church ministry work or charity work and helping the poor and all those things. So each has its different ministries, and worldwide, there's only these two organizations that we continue to promote. So take note of all those things, and we thank God for those of you who have been a part of it. When I get back to Asia and to Australia, we will see what it is to make sure that this project that we have will go through. All that we want to do will continue to go forth. And we are here to do God's work. And so that's all the good things that have been happening. And so the good news, exciting today, was the O'Malley thing. I say, wow, finally. I don't think we could have done it without fasting or prayer, you know. So I think the fasting and prayer. And God used Lona. Yeah? God gave her a vision. So I'm looking through a vision over and over during the fasting. And we were talking of ways to send a letter. Then I said, no, we have learned from the Lord already about his vision, that we should try the best to fulfill it literally. And that's why we say that, you know, she should go physically. But of course, we didn't expect her to drive alone. So I say, you know, either Ariel or myself, you know, we have to be present while she goes down and fulfill the vision. So it's been good. And you're going to see a change, even the atmosphere in the election. And one of the things that O'Malley mentioned, I think we had to pray for him. I think the main thing he stopped is because of finances. It's costly. But the other thing is, I think the Lord wants him to learn throughout this thing that we realize we should have sent a letter earlier to him. But God works all things for his perfect will, even inclusive of what we did not do within the letter. But now the letter reached him at a time when he's humble, when, you know, he's out of the picture. And so he did mention about he felt that I let Ariel share this part here, right? Just say some of the words so you get a first-hand witness of the exact words that he said, something about God.
Yes. Yeah, so when we, actually we went to his found his home, so we actually drove up to his house as like two people leaving, looks like part of his campaign or something, and so Lana went up just like the vision had, and she had talked to, you know, she said, well, I know you don't know me, but we have the same birthday, which I think is interesting. Yeah, exactly like she saw in the vision. You know, I got the same birthday because actually they're born on the same day, but just different years. And so then we've been trying to get you this letter, so she gave him the letter. And then he actually came out of his house, came and, like, met everyone in the car and everything, and met my family. And we had driven almost 2 hours one way, so – It was when we got there, he asked if we needed to go, if any kids need to use the restroom. So he actually just let us go in his house. He was a really nice guy. And he's like, and so Lana had given him a letter, and he read some of it. And then when we got to talk, he says, you know, I felt like I would have got 20 points in Iowa if I just would have had more of the money to do that. And so when he said that, when I was talking to him, I told him, I said, you know, these things are going to happen. So make sure, you know, our recommendation for you is that you keep all your legal stuff and your name on the ballot. So when the other two fall out, you'll be able to step right in. And I didn't get to tell him everything at once. I only highlighted a few things here and there. But one of the other things that he said was when I told him initially some of those things is he said that he goes, when we came there, he's like, wow, two anonymous people coming with a message. And that sounds like something from the Bible. And so I was like, yeah, it was really interesting because he's like, man, these people come out of nowhere basically. And, you know, they got this message for me. And so then the other thing when I was going outside, I was talking to him by myself a little bit. And he said, you know, I felt like God wanted me to run. And if I didn't, I would be disobeying God. So, I mean, God's already, like, had been stirring him anyways. And so when we were in the house and he had the letter, I felt like there was this energizing that was going on. He was not the same. You know, the whole atmosphere wasn't the same. Because when we went in the city, Baltimore has some kind of, it seems like, heaviness on it. But when we went in his house, it seemed like something just shifted. And I just felt the love of God go out to him. I mean, there's a difference when there's your love, and then it's difference when you're like, that's the Lord. And so you could just feel, he was just receiving it. He's like, man, this is intriguing. This is so interesting. And so you could tell that God was stirring his heart. Because when I tell him, you know, make sure that you don't, you know, I said, are you registered? I'll say, he's like, I'm registering some of them. You know, I'm on the ballot. So I was like, make sure you're on all of them. Make sure you get on everything. Because when the time comes, you're going to be the one that's called upon in the step up. So that was kind of the general overview of the time we had there. But he let us go in the house, and we were walking around the area. And so he seemed very open and very intrigued by that. It's like, okay, well, thank you. And so that was how that experience went. So it was really good. But just the fact that he was home on that day, he was actually opened the door as we drove up, and people were going out. And then he went to the side, and, you know, Lana went up, and it was just like the timing couldn't have been more perfect. The fact that Lana found the address was like, you know, she did all this research and stuff. So we were been looking for ways to get letters to him. So it was like God just made the way and showed us how to do it. So, yeah. All right.
And Lana, yeah, you can take care of a kid. So kind of share your vision, what actually happened, how you receive it. I think that's something that the Lord wants you to share, so that he encourages those of you online and those of you here to know that, you know, you know that I'm having visions, everyone is having visions, and you think that some of these visions will work through us, going to work through some of you. Like Lona, come on, Lona. Yeah.
Well, after we had service and all-night prayer last weekend, I was doing laundry. It's really glamorous. I was doing laundry, and everyone was in their own areas, and I had been doing some research about Martin O'Malley, and I had noticed that we had the same birthday, and I told Aaron, "No, that's really interesting. We have the same birthday." And so I was doing laundry and minding my own business, and all of a sudden I had this vision, and I saw the entire scenario play out, and I had walked up to him, and we were in like businessy type clothes, and he was having a meeting, and I just happened to be able to meet him at that time. And I started the conversation by saying, "Hi, you don't know me, but we have the same birthday. Isn't that so interesting?" And then I was able to tell him about, you know, Arwell and Pastor Johan and the letter that they were trying to get him. And so whenever I spoke to him today at his house, he had just been leaving, a couple of gentlemen had just been leaving his house with a briefcase, so we knew that they had been having a meeting. And so I came to the door and I knocked and I said, "Hi, Mr. O'Malley, my name's Lana. You don't know me, but we have the same birthday. Isn't that interesting?" And he just smiled, and I told him everything that I had seen in the vision, and I gave him the letter. And what's really interesting is in the vision, I had seen us walking and talking, and like almost like it never ended. It just was open-ended. And so Arian reminded me, or Arwell, I'm going to get that right, reminded me as we were leaving the house that he and I were walking down the driveway when he came to meet the kids, and we were talking, and it was very open-ended. So it happened almost exactly the same.
Yeah. So it's good when we have vision to seek to fulfill it. And so when we are still, after the Lona's vision, we're still looking at various ways to send it. Then our third, I said, no, we should actually take the trouble to, especially for Lona, to go personally. So it's very important when you have vision to actually interpret and then apply it. Because if we had just sent a letter, I don't think we'll reach him. Don't forget, we really send a letter, return back, and then emails to some of his people, and then also through his campaign managers that we found on site. All those things. And apparently, until today, he never got our letter. Never got the information. So it was very important to fulfill literally and have it. And the fact that it's happened exactly like the vision, I think this is of God. And don't forget, we're talking about the next president of the United States. And he's going to be for 2 terms. And he's going to be president while the third wave weakening happens. So you know why the Lord is doing all those things? So that when the third awakening happens and he's president, he remember, hey, I think I have met those guys before. And so he will, so not something in his heart will be like giving favor and grace. Okay, leave those guys alone. I'm sure, you know, when we start turning sticks into snakes, calling down fire, and darkness happens to the entire city, news is going to go forth. Because who are these guys, you know? Somewhere down the line, you know, word will get out that, hey, these are the guys who prophesy that he will be president. And he is. And so all these things are part of God. But it's interesting to see how we could have missed God by a little bit. And it will be a mile. And what was a little bit? That the effort to go and deliver the letter. As you know, we thought it was 1 hour, but it's ended up 2 hours. The journey was 2 hours. And that's why after discussing the area, I told him, you know, since it's up north there, that it's nearer for him to go there. And yesterday we wanted to do it, but it was too late. And so it was just nice for him. And he thought it was 1 hour or so. I thought it was 1 hour, actually 2 hours to reach his house and deliver the letter person. And the timing has to be right. He might not have been in. We were prepared that he might not be in. And then what we would do if he's not in. And then, but everything happened exactly. So wonderful to know. Now, we have a lot of different experience so far in all the prophecies the Lord has given, even from the time of Madaba September and the Transfiguration. Remember, we didn't fulfill things literally. So we began to re-examine some of the visions the Lord gave, that we have to make an effort and attempt to fulfill something literally. The same way, remember, Arian's transition to full-time was repeated by Jesus 3 times. Which means that all of you who are giving online, you don't have to worry which direction where you're giving. You can be assured that whichever direction where it is, we are putting all our resources to make sure what Jesus wants to do gets passed. And but the transition is only one of them. There are many other things that the Lord wants to raise. And then there's this vision of us writing a check for this place. We won't tell you what the amount was so that we still can bargain and pray that that one is subjective. And then another check with $50 million in the bank. And so this appears to be the place that God has chosen for Johan Ministries to be the training place. We will train and send out people worldwide. And also, of course, firstly in the United States. And people like yourself are going to be serving a lot full time, both of you. And you too. And all of you know, you. And you were getting to know. Daniel, right? Okay, we're getting to know. But, and Martin, a lot talks about you too, if you're listening online. about you being faithful and having a work started in Mexico, but a lot left it to my timing. My timing is I love it to be this year, and simultaneous with UK. In fact, I would love in this prayer meeting that we pray that we could set up 10, if we could set up and have enough finances to set up the 10 major churches where we're going to be, I think it will be way past pleasing the Lord. And the Lord knows this is what we want. But US is very important to the Lord. He repeated 3 times for us. So let's all get behind this and flow with that. And remember, the Lord says that July is the beginning outpouring. But remember again, there was a condition. In the prophecy, the Lord talked about prayer. Prayer. And we need a lot of intercessors and prayer. Lord talked about the ministry of Charji Finney and Father Nash. And how Father Nash used to pray, Finney does a public ministry. The difference is both of us are also intercessors and preachers and prophets too. So something is happening that we know might look small, but it's big when the reverberation began to flow and affect all of this nation. So this trip is very important. I think if we didn't make this trip, we would not have released some of the things like O'Malley's things and all those things. It's very important sometimes to be physically there. If you examine the things of the Bible, you realize that sometimes God makes them spend a lot of effort for a small word. Imagine Elijah when he was discouraged in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, under the sycamore tree or mulberry tree, whatever tree some modern translations put. When the angels fed him the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights on that food, all the way to Mount Horeb, just to receive the word from the Lord. A simple word that God could have given him under the sycamore tree. So God made him take 40 days journey. A 40 days journey is a long time. You know, in our modern term, you could travel around the world 40 times. That's a long time. That's journeying for 1 month and 10 days. You give me the journey here, it's already taking about 20 over hours, 30 if you get a nice break in between, just to reach from the other side of the world to US on our conventional airlines. And can you imagine him journeying for 40 days? Just to receive a simple word from the Lord. So it's important for those online and those who are here and those who are hearing this word to know that many times the vision is not fulfilled because we are not making an effort to fulfill it, or we are taking the easy road to fulfill it. It takes an effort. It takes changes. It takes us to be willing to give up our schedule and follow the schedule of the Lord. Like the angel used to say, let it be the Lord's time and not the people's time. And prioritize the Lord and not just the people. And what the Lord wants to do. And in other words, if the Spirit wants to flow, we flow with the Spirit. And change our schedule according to the Spirit of the Lord, what He wants to do. So this coming outpouring in July is very important. There's no doubt that we definitely will succeed in transitioning Israel to full-time ministry. That's a given. But the other part of the prophecy talk about prayer. Are we willing to pay the price of intercession, fasting, and prayer to pray like Father Nash? Remember, all revivals in church history has always been preceded by a great and deep time of prayer. There is no shortcut to that. The price of prayer and fasting needs to be done. And no matter how many revelations the Lord gives, how many visions or dreams the Lord gives, you cannot violate the Bible principle. The Bible principle has always been prayer. And may I remind you that Elijah was a man of prayer before the signs and wonders started. So he's talking about deep times of prayer, deep times of waiting upon the Lord before the breakthrough. Once the breakthrough comes, it is easy. But before it comes, we must, let's say if the Lord has established somewhere in his archive secretly that there shall be X amount of hours of prayer, and then we miss the X, we are minus X or below X, then we are accountable. But if the Lord put X amount, let's put X plus. And pray more than sufficient. Wait on the Lord more than sufficiently. So that when He begins the first outpouring, and put it this way, there is no other prophecy of such a revival with any Christian group anywhere in the world. If the only price you have to pay are two things, transition Aruah as a calendar and spend a time in fasting and prayer, wouldn't you do all your best to pray 4 or 5 hours a day, even necessary? Because once it comes and flows, it is an easy thing. But it's the before coming that we need to pay the price. And we have people at prayer. And I know in Singapore, there are sisters praying. I can tell you, my next trip here, they might spend a whole month praying. They might never leave the church. The church might be their home. And just for that. But we pray that there will be Americans raised up. There will be people in America. And we have actually one of the largest group of online people in U.S. I know U.S. is so big, you're scattered all over the U.S. But it is one of the biggest contingent of online people. And if you know this is what the Lord wants to do, then that's it. And we got to pray for musicians. Pray for people to be part of all those things. And so that we have music group, ushers group, all those people already before July. So we got a lot of work to do. And the church in Canada, they have been praying for nearly, they have the small group meeting, if I remember correctly, from the last time that Elijah went back. And then they started having Friday meetings, I remember, once a week or anything. So that by the time we launched the church the first week of February, they had the music going. Because Pastor Elijah was there, and then we found people like Jewel and her brother Jimal, and they're really anointed to worship. And I look forward to see them worship again this coming Sunday night. And they got a good group going. And so all these things are happening slowly, bit by bit. All the pieces are falling in places because God has ordained His revival here. And the revival that has long been prophesied. And today we continue to talk about these end times, and especially about the rise of the glorious church versus the rise of the Antichrist, and to know and to find our place in what God wants. Last week I talked about how God has chosen the rise of the glorious church to be the same timing as the rise of Antichrist. Only God could have chosen God versus the enemy and enemy defeated. Only God could have chosen that he so timed the rise of his church, his bride, in a time when evil is at maximum. So to remind us again, let's read the scripture in the book of Daniel. Okay. The book of Daniel. And we're looking at Daniel chapter 4. Yes. Daniel chapter 4, 1, 2, 3. Daniel chapter 2 first. Nebuchadnezzar's statue and the Dantos. So here's the interpretation of the ten toes, and it says here on a stone, it says in the feet of clay in verse 33, its legs of iron, and talking about Nebuchadnezzar's statue that he saw, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watch while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image of its feet. On its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So that was the dream. Now, this is the interpretation and the ten toes. It says in verse 42, as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile, speaking of democracy. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of man, and they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, that is the ten toes, in the days of these ten toes, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That means this is the finale, that the kingdom which Jesus has been waiting for so long, the kingdom that God wants to raise to perfection, the kingdom of Christ, the point in which Jesus defeats the enemy, is actually the 21st century. And in these times, this kingdom that he's talking about shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break. Now look at what this kingdom does. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. That is the kingdoms before that. The Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Greek kingdom, and the Roman Empire. This kingdom will be greater than all these former kingdoms. Remember, the Babylonian kingdom was considered the golden empire. Medo-Persian was the silver, and so forth. But this kingdom that God established will be far greater than all these kingdoms. Now, long ago when I was teaching on this in Singapore, I showed a map of the Babylonian kingdom, how big it was, and then a map of the Medo-Persian empire, and then the map of the Greek Empire, and then the map of the Roman Empire, which is actually the biggest. And all these are small compared to the end time revival. Because it is in this end time that God says that we can win 2/3 of the population of the earth. That would mean if the world has, I know the world has about, now about, let's say around 7 billion people. But let's say in time to come, it reached 9 billion. You're talking about 6 billion people for ease of counting. 2/3. That's more people than the empires of the world in past has ever had. A domain that reached to the north, south, east, and west of the entire planet. That is the kingdom which God is trying to raise. It won't be a political kingdom. We're apolitical. Like Jesus, he doesn't get involved in politics. Nor should we. And that's why it took a long time of training on the principles and the word of God. And the download, just like King David has a plans for how to build the kingdom and how to build the temple, which he passed on to Solomon. God has downloaded for my life the plan of how to govern such a big group of people. It won't be a political kingdom. It will be just a spiritual kingdom existing alongside nations. We are apolitical. We will always remain that way. We will have an influence and impact, but that's what all that we will do. For the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom and not a natural kingdom. It's important that we know these principles by heart and we adhere to them with all our soul. And the plans that God has given and the patterns that God has given, I really told people the structure. About the 500 people and then the thousands below them. And this is what God is building, a spiritual kingdom in which he wants to do this end time revival. And it will grow to be a sizable kingdom. A kingdom in which signs and wonders such as the world has never seen is demonstrated. And all the miracles of the Bible will be demonstrated in such a time. That is why he says, this kingdom shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms before it. And that's the rise of the glorious church. And it says, it shall stand forever. Inasmuch in verse 45, as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. See, Daniel likes to use this word. Like sometimes I use a word. There are certain things that will take place, like Israel will transition into full time. The outpouring will, as Jesus' word, get fulfilled here in July, the first part. And from here on, to fulfill all the other parts of the vision. There are certain things that are certain. The question is, what role will each one of us play? Now, that is still subject. Because not everyone has lined up to the place they want. But may I remind everyone here also again, that even though we look at this planet Earth and this teaching is confined to the Antichrist versus the glorious church, which means it's on the planet Earth, that the ultimate plan of God is not the planet Earth. The ultimate plan of God is the new heaven and the new earth. Everything that we do is actually for that. Even the millennium is just an in-between part. So, in comparison to the totality of eternity, what is happening in this revival is only about between 1 to 5%. Although for us it's 100% in this present life. It feels like 100%. And the other part is so far away that you have no imagination what the millennium is like, nor of the new heaven and new earth. It feels so far. But in actual fact, all that is happening that we're teaching here of the Antichrist glorious church is only about 1 to 5%. Then there's another, let's say, about 10 to 20% of millennium. And then the rest of it is all new heaven, new earth. Which means that the decisions you make in this life, of your part and your play, we are talking about the kingdom of God is at hand. But the kingdom of God is coming forth. It's coming forth. When Jesus came, he said the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's very near. But in our time, the message will be different. The message will be as we go forth with the rod to turn it into a snake. As we go forth as the manifest sons of God, and as we go forth to defy the normal laws of science and nature, then we will be saying, the kingdom of God is here. Choose your part in the kingdom. Like Jesus says, even now before the signs and wonders begin, the Spirit bear witness with your spirit. Now, we do not stand alone. We stand on the heads and on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. People like Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, have prophesied about this revival. They saw this revival, but they live and die without entering into it. They saw only a glimpse. We are this revival. I am the voice that cry at midnight. It is the last cry. We are in this revival. And those who hear, who know the Spirit bear witness, find their place in this revival. And your place in this revival will secure your place in the millennium. Yes, the first generation have their work in the time of the millennium also, besides the second generation, and secure your place in new heaven and new earth. So it's important for us to take that progress. What is this rise that we are talking about? It is. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. We look at the 10 horns, which are similar to the 10 toes. It tells us in verse 8, I was considering the horns. These are the 10 horns. We are Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. I was considering the horns. And there was another horn, a little one coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. So he's talking about the 10 horns, and the 10 horns became just 7, because 3 disappeared. And one of the little horn ate up the 3, which means 7 plus the 1, 8, the 7 and the 8 at the same time. And we know that the little horn is the Antichrist. Now look over at the book of Revelations, chapter 17. If you've ever done a study of the horns, and you tie them together, you see them all related, even though they're separated by thousands of years and by different books in the Bible. So here we have in Revelation chapter 17, verse 7, the angel said to John, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which had the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And it described the 7 heads. And then look at verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. And it is true. In John's time, they don't exist. But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with a beast. Now, may I point it to you again? Can you see the Bible here? 1 hour with the beast. Can you see that? Can you see the word with? And let me emphasize the word with. Meta, which denotes one that rises together or in composition with. Like metaphysics, as you know, is transphysics. So it's like the tens are like they become transition into their kingdoms in their fullness at the same time as the beast. That is an important point. Because we all know that the 10 horns or the 10 tigers are already existing. Remember, I did a circle of those things. And you have a picture of that, remember? In your some way, you like to find it while I'm talking. We know they exist, and they are all the European nations. They exist, and the main leading nations are Germany, UK, and France. But the Bible says that their transition to be the fullness of the 10 horns is only with the beast. That's mentioned in your Bible in chapter 17. That for 1 hour, of course it's a prophetic 1 hour, which means it's measured in months. The 1 hour as kings with the beast. And look at verse 13, what will happen to this? These 10 horns. Remember, before the 10 horns become 7 plus 1. So these are still 10 horns. They are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And you see that? They are one mind. Now we know the nations exist, but they are not giving power to the enemy yet. Not until the church reaches fullness. In fact, the good angels are at work. And because Germany is going to lead the ten horns, the European archangel, each of these nations have their own archangels. They have their own archangels. And but the main archangel is over Berlin. Because God still has something. And we will have churches in Berlin. We will have churches. In fact, you'll be helping to plant the churches in Berlin. With your German roots. Yes, this one. Okay. Now, realize, let me see. You know why I put this as one? Germany. You know why I put this as two? UK. In precedence to their leadership role. And France is three. Now, each of these have the archangels. They're over there. I'm looking for Greece somewhere inside. Oh, you know, there's Italy that is there. And so we know some of the archangels' names that have been given to us. And which are important because we work with them as we plant churches in their, in those places. Like we know that over Germany is Hoftermark. Mael. And then there is one in UK, which is Ladef Matakel. And then there is France, which is Lalil Fadel. And then we have Spain, and then we have all these others. But of all these other archangels, the one that is the good one, I'm talking about good archangels, they're over them. The main one is in Berlin, which we visited this year in January. And we prayed that. And we visited the parliament in Germany. And the main one is Asatamata El. Yeah, finally, I got it. Tongue-twisting word. And he's over all the archangels are facing the direction of that archangel in Germany. He's all over Europe. This is the good one. Definitely, they are not working with the beast yet. Yet. So though they are part of the ten horns hasn't fully worked with the beast like here in the Bible. They haven't given their power to the beast yet. And you know when they give their power to the beast? When the beast swallowed three of them up. Because Germany will still exist. Except UK won't exist because of the tsunami in 2029. France will still exist. But Russia comes into being. The beast will rise from Russia. And so in a sense, when 10 minus 1 is 9, correct? Because UK will disappear in 2029. 10 minus 1 plus 1. Because the little horn will rise from Russia. And we know the exact dates of some of these things. And in the year 2027 to 2029, a war will break out between Europe and Russia. Now let me describe some of the things about the beast. But before I do that, let me read a bit more scriptures, if you don't mind. In verse 16, you got that? Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. And it says, and the ten horns, we get back to the map again afterwards. You can show that one first, yeah. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hit the harlot. Remember we already said in our teaching on USA prophecy that the harlot represents USA. Now, it's not all of USA. The harlot is from the time of empires right down. Except that, no, the US represents the existing thing in our time. The harlot existed from the time when kingdom started. From Nimrod's time. Until today. But because we're living in the reality of today, that's what it represents. And the 10 horns, as you saw, will hit the harlot, make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire. Verse 16, you know when this will happen? 2027. We're giving you exact dates. In 2027, United States of America, who has experienced nearly about, by that time, let's say it began in 21, 22, let's say at least about 5 years of internal turmoil in civil war, goes into Spain. Now we can shift the map again. Goes into Spain, which is here. There'll be trouble there. When U.S. lands in Spain, that's the day these words in verse 16 are fulfilled. They will eat up that snake. And the head of the snake split from the body. And then, that is where they talk about, you know, Babylon the Great has fallen, and then the whole world moans over her, the merchants, and all those things that happen. But when Babylon the Great has fallen, simultaneously, in chapter 19, which is why God is giving the last chance here in USA. USA has been, as I again say, we give respect to all that US has done, the good that it has done, and the foundations of Christianity that has been here. I myself am a beneficiary of that because Christianity came from US. The missionaries were sent to Southeast Asia. Although England has sent something, the colonialism did bring some Christianity there, but I was converted in the NEC church, which has some links to Hudson Taylor in the past, and then later I was brought up by the Baptists and went to the Baptist seminary, which is Southern Baptist, and so my roots are Southern Baptist, which has its roots in USA. So a lot of my, like, I learned Greek from a Greek professor from Southern Baptist, and they came to Penang, set up the Baptist seminary there. So I'm a beneficiary of that. We thank God for that. However, with all the good that is there, even within your own nation, Christianity is struggling to find its relevance in your own society. Things have changed. It's no more like the founders of long ago, what they intended. So when U.S. goes into that, the nations, all the 10 horns will be attacking. Of course, Russia and China will help and play behind the scene. And that is when Russia will play a game there. And in 2027, there will be 5 pieces of satellite that was struck in the time of, we had a satellite map too, right? Yeah, I'll let you take your time. And there was struck somewhere in Russia, also the year 2027, mark the year 2027. Although for US, the year 2021 and 22 will be critical. And the Exodus will most likely begin at that time, which he's a calendar for the Exodus also, calendar for many things. You know, so we need to wear, you know, one day get a t-shirt for him. I'm the calendar. So remember a few years ago, the satellite, there was a satellite, I think about, just probably about a year ago, there's a satellite that came and it moved from this direction and it hit some parts, some obscure town in Russia. And now there will be another satellite that moves from this direction, from the right to the left, break into 7 pieces, and all the 7 pieces, some of the 5 pieces, smaller one will hit here, 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 here and here, the red dots. All these things you have in my book, the appendix of my autobiography, and I put it there, the prophecies at that. And two parts of it are at the edge outside of Russia. And I think this is just outside Russia too. So one of those, like Kazakhstan and some of these, I think this is like Ukraine, okay, in this section. But the rest are all in Russia. But two giant pieces hit here, where the fallen angels, Samyaza and Eskil, are located. We know the names of the three main, what I would call, generals that are under Satan. They are Apollyon, Samyaza, and Eskil. During Noah's time, they were the main leaders. And it was like a big pyramid kind of thing, spiritual pyramid. And over all of them was the main lord of the armies, Apollyon. You hear Apollyon in the book of Revelation. He's locked up in a bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is like a time portal that they cannot get out. So that's why there's no bottom. So he's locked up there, but he's released in the tribulation, when the tribulation begins. He's not allowed to be, because if he's released today, he will literally kill all mankind. That's how horrible it is. But in his time, when he's released, Enoch and Elijah and 144,000 are allowed to hold him back. And a lot of mankind are still killed. And so that's why very few survival. Because of all those things, he's not allowed to be released. And he cannot touch Christians, but there are a lot of people who will be killed even before they get a chance to hear the gospel. But Samyaza and Eskil. Samyaza is like a sorcerer. Now, you think only in terms of human terms. Think bigger. Samyaza is the one who can mix spirit beings together, fallen spirit beings, and mix spirit beings with angels, take part here, take part there, all that, creating hideous looking new beings. Not really creating. It's like, you know, we humans, we split DNA and create new things. So that sometimes, you know, like a lot of antibiotics and all this are using eggs and all that. But some of these are actually grown in plants. They actually change the things of the plants. And then the plants, they harvest it to get those things. And God help you, those plants escape. Oh, the seed gets out, people eating the actual plants to get all those things. So sometimes they use animals, eggs, and plants. So humans splice genes and play with them. Imagine a higher level of doing that in the spiritual dimension. That's what he's doing. For them to handle natural DNA is like child's play. Handling spiritual DNA is more complex. Because spiritual DNA is more complex than natural. The natural was just a shadow. The really real world is a spiritual world. So imagine the power of his skills that are there. And it is because of him that angels can reproduce with humans. When you wonder, hey, how can spirit beings reproduce with natural beings? Well, that's how they do it. And so he plays around with all those sorceries that are there. And then the other is Eskil. Eskil's skill is seduction. And he will introduce more evil than you've ever seen. Greater than, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah exponential squared. You have not seen it before. And there will be not just homosexual marriage, but there will even be marriage of three or four people. Or people who are neither gender. And don't forget, these are some of the signs and wonders that the enemy will produce. Now, before I jump to that, let me give Bible verses for that. in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about the rise of the Antichrist, but it did tell us in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You see that in the Bible? But the Bible doesn't tell you what is correct. Let me tell you what it is. Among them are duplication of signs and wonders, like the magicians of Egypt. They will also be able to turn sticks into snakes. Except the same way, when we turn our snakes into sticks into snake, our snakes will eat them up. Just like Moses time. They will also try to duplicate a bit of the blood thing, just like Janus and Jambres did. But when it comes to creating life, they cannot. But they will be able to turn objects, in living objects, to stone. But they cannot reverse it. We will be able to reverse it. And they will be able to shapeshift, so that some of them who give their power to or surrender themselves to fallen angels, they will be able to shapeshift. Something beyond comprehension, correct? Impossible in our scientific world. And they can shapeshift to a man or a woman. They can shapeshift to an animal. This sounds like fairy tale. But by 2027 and 2029, we enter, and now let me name the age before someone name it. That, you know, we have gone through the atomic age, now we are in the internet age. We will enter the supernatural age, where it looks like it's a different world. Quote unquote, it looks like a world of magic appear. But it won't be magic. It will actually be God's real power versus lying signs and wonders. So I'm talking about some of their lying signs and wonders that they are doing. They will, to a certain extent, also call fire down, but more of the lightning kind. You remember in Job's time that the devil was allowed to test Job? Remember what one of the servants said? Fire came down and burned the sheep. And don't forget how many sheep he had. If I remember correctly, it's about 3,000. 3,000? Well, you remember, you love lamb chops, eh? Okay. Can you imagine 3,000 barbecue sheep? No, barbecue is nice. They were so burned, you cannot even eat them. Fire from heaven. And that was not angel, that was the enemy. Then you look at Revelation chapter 13. Some of the things that the false prophet does. Revelation chapter 13. And when you first read this verse, you interpret it as symbolic. Symbolic. But now, you have to also read it as actual. This is a false prophet in chapter 13, verse 11. I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Can you see that? See, we bring fire down like Elijah. He also got his type of fire. And I'm talking about his four signs first. Then in verse 14, he deceived those who dwell on the earth by these signs. And by the way, we haven't seen that deadly wound. God is about to show it. It is something that happened to the Antichrist in our time. That he gets healed by the power. So in our encounter, I just describe a bit. I don't want to describe too much. I wait till someone. You see, normally I see something, I wait till somebody else see it. So let me trigger it for him. He'll see, get back to me. Some encounter that he had with us damaged him. And he carried that into the tribulation. And they needed evil power to restore. That is how bad the battle goes for him. Interesting. Eh? You would like to be the one to give him the daily wound, right? Yes, we gave him a daily wound in his encounter with the church. We used to interpret that daily wound. Now, you know that I'm a Bible scholar. I know what the daily wound is interpreted by traditional church. It is the revised Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire was destroyed and is healed and repaired back. All right? That's also fine. You can interpret that way. But it's a due interpretation. There's a literal side. There's a literal side. I'm saying now, there's a literal side. But he cannot stand against the powers of age to come. And it says here in verse 14, he deceived those who dwell on the earth by these signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Now remember, yesterday in the Bible study, when I shared USA prophecy part 2, I read Kenneth Hagin's prophecy on the US, the last call. Inside the prophecy is one line that says, there are false prophets who will do signs and wonders. Remember that? That's why I say his prophecy hasn't come to pass yet. It's all coming to, he's prophesying about this move that we are in. All of you who are hearing online, and all you who are part of USA today, and all of you who are here, your privilege to be the preamble before the Third Great Awakening. We are like the little Bible school of Charles Spurgeon before the Azusa Street. This is what it felt like. Wouldn't you want to know what it felt like 1 year before Azusa Street? What did it feel like? This is what it felt like. They were studying the Bible and they knew something was coming. And they knew they were part of destiny. And then, look at verse 14. He was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. So he made a statue. In verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause many who did not worship the image to be killed. In other words, he made a statue talk. In our latest downloads, we know that some of his little agents make stone statues talk. But he is the master of them all. Four signs and wonders. So can you imagine? They create a stone statue and everyone knows it's stone. And then the stone statue move and talk. These are lying signs and wonders that the world has never seen. In the year 2027 to 2029, especially 2029, when the world is reset, we enter the age of the supernatural. But before the age of the supernatural comes, we are allowed the first phase of super growth. That is where the signs and wonders are released. In the year 2021 onwards. But that is the fullness of it. We will start having a lot of these signs and wonders even in this revival before 2021. Because remember, we got 6 years for US. 6 years for US. And there are a lot of signs and wonders that will happen even within these 6 years. But the fullness of it, really full, is 2021. And this revival is just this beginning of the Third Great Awakening in USA. So I talk about some of the lying signs and wonders that the enemy does. Then you know that on our side, what we are doing is a lot of them, a lot of us, will be going forth preaching the gospel, and we will be canceling the work of the enemy. They turn things to the stone, we preach, turn the stones back into life. And then we will be able to go forth to many places, and God will confirm with creative healings, creative signs and wonders, and DNA healings, a lot of things that will astonish you, which the enemy cannot do. The minimum they will do with some sicknesses and disease that they temporarily seem to heal. But the people, after a few months or a year, they also die. Because it's a false one. They die of something worse as they're possessed. But by the time people saw the first part, they don't worry about what happened later. And see, the enemy don't have follow-up system. And all they want is to demonstrate something, and that's it. And then nobody sees the other person anymore. So he imitates some, but these are the lying signs and wonders that he does, contrast with what we will be doing against him. Remember, we are, quote-unquote, those that guard the borders between the spiritual dimension. Because when God allows those things, God also has to equip his people and his church to confront. And that is why God has chosen, in the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the glorious church. What will the glorious church be like? The glorious church will do, of course, you know, all the working of miracles, signs and wonders, creative miracles, people, new arm, no legs, they will grow. The glorious church will be we will be able to have what I call controlled transportation, which means that we can choose where to go. Like Adam, we will just like visualize something and then we'll go to the place. Transported spirit, soul and body. So it will be so normal that people get used to it. Of course, you're wondering whether the airline business will go out of business or not. No, because not everybody could do that, so some still had to go on airlines. And then we'll say, okay, see you there, and see them all on the airline, and see you when you land. And then we'll be that side. Jesus, actually, one of the visions that we have of Jesus is, you know that there's a small clue that Jesus was transported many times. Let me give you the small little clues. Remember when he stopped the storm? I said, peace be still. Suddenly, they were at the shore. There was a little mini transportation. Then when Peter was walking on water and about to fall, Jesus was still a distance. Because if Jesus was not at a distance, why did Peter ask for help? Right? He could just grab Jesus. Jesus. He called for Jesus. And you notice Jesus was immediately next to him. So tell me, how did Jesus go next to him? So are you going to say that Jesus didn't walk on water, he ran on water? So he, you know, so you had to play the chariots of fire. I forgot the team, very nice team. While Jesus is running on the water. Jesus doesn't have to run on water. He just transport himself. And he was there. Remember when Jesus says to his disciples, go over the other side? It's because he was going to transport himself there. And then in visions of Jesus, we saw that Jesus was transported many, many times when his disciples were absent. So he actually could choose to travel. He didn't have to go the long way. So it was in his mercy that he walked with them. Every time he was with his disciples, the only reason he walked with them was because he wanted to teach them and accompany them. And whenever they were not around, and they got used to it, they got used to the fact that, okay, he tells them to go somewhere, they go and he's already there. they got used to the fact that don't know how he does it. But he just doesn't go, and he's already there. He transported himself. I saw he just move like that. Because he's not bound by our normal laws of gravity. His body had no sin, not under the cross. And this is the kind of ability we will have. In case you're finding it hard to believe, don't you realize that Elijah did that all the time? Remember when Elijah came back and he says, "Hey, where's your master?" No, he's taken. He says he's taken, he's taken. Then they had to pester him until they go and look for him. Because we know him. He goes here, goes there, goes here, goes there. He disappears all the place. In case he might have landed somewhere else. So they got used to him traveling. Come on, if you can believe that of Elijah, how much of Jesus? Isn't Jesus greater than Elijah by exponential curve? Jesus transported himself with no problem. Now, I give you little clues to show that he moved places very fast. And so he was actually transported. When he wanted to be there, he's just there. That's some of the signs and wonders we have. Plus, recently, Ira also saw that we could defy the laws of gravity. So he saw me preaching on a high platform, and then I preach, and then I walk. The platform, like the platform edge is here. So as I walk, normally when you walk over it, no one can float in air, correct? And you go to the next one, you fall down. Which some preachers have fallen down before. So, but he saw me walking, and then I walked past a platform, and I was still at the same level of the platform, floating on the air. Then I was preaching on the air. And because I told people, I'm a sign and a wonder. Lost gravity will have no effect. So you ask me now, is it happening now? Coming soon. You know, like in movies, eh? Next change, coming soon. Okay, we are changing on the inside. And then he saw me preaching, and then I give altar call then as the people come. So I was walking above them, telling them what to do. So in those days, I think nobody should wear the Scottish kilt. So anyway, you should be properly attired in pants. And so, yes. So, but we're beyond the laws of gravity, and the laws of aging does not touch us. Instead of growing older, we're growing younger. So I one of these radio questions that was asked to me, you know, that we were preparing was, okay, you know, you're in your 50s now. Because I know the day, I know my last day on earth, in this old earth, that is. September 19, 2060. That's when I'll be translated. And it's a bit public one. So I know, you know, isn't it wonderful to know your last day on earth? No, I won't die. I'll just be translated like Enoch. So he says, "Wow, how is it? My chronological age will be 102. My biological age is 21 to 25. Say, "Ah," and watch him. All his hair will be growing back as he progresses in this revival. So, as the revival goes forth, his hair grows back. So, reverse aging. The reason is the manifestation of the sons of God, which means that we surpass and we go back to the time before Adam fall. Us more because we have the added Christ life. And this is in talking now. I talk about the enemy, so I talk about us for a moment and what is possible in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, It tells us here in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And that has happened. The transfiguration has taken place in January and when we were there. And something of our DNA has been affected. And it's coming out, coming forth, and it began to change in each one of us. And so these are our side of signs and wonders versus the enemy. Now, may I help you to think logically? Every one of you believe Jesus is inside you, correct? Where in your spirit you will agree? And you would agree also that based on the Bible, that same spirit is in your soul and in your body. If you find it hard to believe, at least believe the Bible. Because in Romans 8, verse 11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, and that's the word Zoe life, to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, do you believe that the resurrection Jesus, of power of Jesus, is in your spirit? Yes. Do you believe that the resurrection power of Jesus is in your body? Based on these words, you got only one correct answer. Yes. Right in front of you. The reason it doesn't work is because people don't believe. But remember, believing is one thing, reality is another. Believing will lead to manifestation. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, for Paul, he hoped for a lot of things. He knew they are possible. He knew they are in the Bible. The things hoped for, the things believed for, manifestation is another thing. That is why Romans 8 is not talking about belief anymore. Look at the word that he used in verse 19. The word is, revealing is the word for, he says, apokalypsis. Apokalypsis means reveal or manifest. It is not belief. It is reality. There's a difference between belief and reality. You see, Abraham believed that he's the father of many nations. It took him nearly 20 over years before he has his first son. Correct? He believed and it was considered righteousness in Genesis 15. Only in Genesis chapter 17, he was told about his first child. Through the years, many more. Hundreds of years later, he has his nation. 400 years later, an entire nation descended from Abraham. So reality is one thing, belief is one thing. We're not talking about believing. Now you have to start believing. But we are talking about manifestations. Which means it becomes a reality in your life. That's what God desired to do. That's what God's doing, and that's the possibility or the power in science. Now, there's so much more we're going to talk about, but let me cover this part and wrap up so that we can pray, and then I'll continue the last part the next week on the Antichrist versus the glorious church. The 10 horn things. Yes. 10 horns. And I talk about the year 2027, remember? When the fallen angels are released, the world enters. It will take them 2 years. The fallen angels, I know that Semyaza will go to Turkey, and then at first, and then Askil will go to Saudi Arabia for some things, and then after that, the two fallen angels will join with the false prophet. to help him manifest some of those things.
And so the year 2029, and it will take them 2 years to begin to increase in some area. While those things are happening, after the USA attack come to in the pretense of the UN to help Spain, that's when Revelation 17, verse 16 will happen. They will all eat up the harlot. So when that happens, there will be that satellite thing that happened in 2027. So when that happened, now what happened? This is about the Antichrist and rise of Antichrist. The Antichrist was born last year. Last year. So you can count how old he is. The false prophet was born in 2004. They are already existing. Christianity is not the same anymore. Don't think back of, you know, on the old rugged cross. Of course, you still can sing that song. But it is no more the traditional Christianity. How can Christianity be normal when you're living as contemporaries with the false prophet and the Antichrist? And the 144,000 are being born as I speak. From now to before 2029. And you know why before 2029? Which means that by the tribulation, the youngest among them will be about 30 in their 30s, oldest will be in their 50s, and that's about their age when they are in the tribulation. Obviously, if the tribulation happened, they all have to be born in our time. They are born in our time. The Antichrist has been born last year, 2015. Now, we saw the leaders who trained the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be as human as possible and a man of peace and a very lovable, likable man in the natural. Like the Pope today. If the Pope invites you to have an audience with him, don't go. Because he is part of it. Because your handshake with him might cost you 10 years of your life. It's a judgment of God. So don't go. Don't go. It's reminding you. Because in these many years, some of you, you know, especially those in the business world, those of you encountered, you know, you, the world, you know, has a different way to attack you. Either through persecution or through distraction. These are the only methods that they use. And so if they fail in one, they will use the attraction way to lure you. And the enemy has already arranged that the top military leaders and top political leaders and geniuses will be his tutors. He is born in a rich family. His father is a prince of royalty. But he will have some Jewish blood, some Muslim blood, and in future claim also to be Christian. That's how he will unite all religion. He says he's all of them. So his father is a prince in a royalty. And then as he grow up, this is how he will gain prominence. He will grow up in Russia, although his roots are in the Middle East. And I sort of roughly know which royal family he comes from, but I'm not telling you. So otherwise, all you will say, so you know, some people, will you tell us who the Antichrist is when the time comes? So some people are wondering, you know, some people, you know, are extreme. So they say, you know, what happened if we killed him as a baby? What? No. Then, you know, I don't think that the Lord will allow you to do that. Because if the Lord allows him to be buff and all that, all those things. And, or kill his tutors. What? Then you'll be jailed for murder. So, and, so don't do this extreme thing. Remember, our kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. We don't use natural weapons or natural methods. We use the powers of prayer and fasting and the authority of the word. This is how he will gain prominence. Even while he's a young teenager, he will be influential in his late teens and his early 20s to get back all of the Russian, former Soviet Union country under Russia. In some sort of arrangement. And all Russia will love him for that. That's one of his first things that he will do. Now remember, the aim of the Antichrist and the false prophet is one world, and one world government. They are aiming to unite the whole world under them. That's their aim. So that's the first thing that he will succeed, and he will gain popularity in Russia. So the time will come when I'll tell you when he's a popular person. And easy to recognize because he'll be very popular. He'll be the guy who unite, bring back all the former Soviet Union countries back under the influence of Mother Russia. And during this war, when this happens, when this happens and the two fallen angels are released in 2027, not by the meteorites. You know, some of you are read too much Superman. So you think like some nuclear explosion in space let out the bad guys that were jailed in the thing, you know, that they released and then they will become enemies of Superman. Please, you know. Although it will be very, you know, some megatons in its explosion, those are just calendar events. It's not a natural event. And you know the archangel who's holding them back there? His name is Raka'el. He is based in, let me try to pronounce that town again, Vladivostok. Okay, got it. He won't run. He's on the east side of Russia, on the other side, near China. Because he is also watching over Russia, China, and all the areas there. Raka'el. Archangel Raka'el is one of those 12 under Uriel. Archangel Uriel is in the book of Enoch, he's mainly in charge of planet Earth also to a certain extent. Different from Michael, different from each one got a different perspective. And he's in charge of 12 gates. So you got 12 archangels under him. Raka'el is one of them. So Raka'el is one of the main ones energizing to hold him back. To hold back the two fallen angels and imprison them. So during the time of that meteorite, there will be some sort of anger. Okay, when this thing happened, we go to the tentacles. Okay, the other map, thank you. So when this happens in Russia, They will be arguing the European countries, the ten horns and the ten tigers, will want to influence all the former Soviet Union country to be on their side. And Russia, of course. You already see that on the trouble in Crimea, right? In last year. So it will be worse. It will actually lead to anger and war. So remember last year was what I call a Genesis year. That every little thing that happened was a genesis to point to something happening in the future. This year is a year of transition. In other words, you finally move into some things. And so they will fight over some of those countries, over who rule and who wish that each side. Right now, they are fighting to influence Ukraine, correct? And Ukraine is more leaning to this side. But some are leaning that side. And that's why they lost Crimea on that. And so that's going to happen again and again. In 2027, it will build to a crescendo where, and this part, Ariel saw part of the vision, where the dark angels that are, you know, this black spot that I do here, roughly where the throne is, the left area. And then where is our good side? Ah, Germany side. So Germany is a leader, I put it as number one. So the fallen angel there, and it's under this triangle that we did, the triangle thing, that when we did the triangle thing, where were you? Oh yeah, you joined us in September 2014, right? Was your first time? It would be fine if you were around. That was in, was it in? 15, yes, yes, that time we didn't involve you at that time. Yeah, you were just getting into things. It would be fun at that time. Okay, this was instructed by Archangel Uriel. And we follow his instruction. He told us to simultaneously pray in those places. And we did more than that. We did a group also in Pergamos, and a group in Singapore, and a group in Australia. And then Mark was the one to discover that when you draw a line right through, it reaches to Ayers Rock, where Uriel Luzael is. So we did that. This line was like to push the enemy downwards. And that's where the location. Now, the fallen angels send demons to whisper, and here send demons two ways to whisper after both sides are very angry. And they are about to go to war. And then they hold back until 2027. So the good angel whispers something, and then Russia is held back a while. And right now, as we see, that Russia will be held back for 7 years. Their time is not up until 2027. 2029. So they try to rise too early, God pushed them down. This happened in the Bible. Remember in the time of Daniel, Gabriel said that he is there and he wants to push back the prince of Greece. Because Greece was going to later, remember, Babylonian Empire was conquered by Middle Persian. Middle Persian was conquered by the Greek Empire. Greek Empire, yeah, followed by the Roman Empire. So Greece was coming up too fast. So they push it back. Push it back. And that's what the angels do. So they're pushing back Russia now, as I mentioned in the early prophecies this year. And so they're so angry that in 2027, they will take the initiative when the meteorite strike. Germany will lead Europe to fight against Russia. They will win, like it happened two other times in a world war. They will march all the way to Moscow. Moscow is right at the tip there. They will conquer. They march all the way to Moscow. And then, at first they win, then Russia will fight back. We saw Russia fighting back on two fronts. From St. Petersburg, which should be there. So Russia fought back on two fronts, from Moscow and St. Petersburg. And they push back all the way. By that time, it's the year 2029. And they push them back all the way back to Germany and France. And as they are about to conquer all these countries, all of Europe, that is the little horn that you see in Daniel chapter 7. Can you imagine? Today, we know the mystery of the little horn and the three horns. No other place in history would they tell you straight away what it is. Remember in Daniel 7, the 10 horns, 3 horns got wiped out by the little horn that rise. Nobody knows. Today we know, you know why? Because today is the fulfillment in 2027, in 2029. We know the fulfillment. That's why God revealed all these things in our time. To say, and it is always that way. When it is time for prophecy to be fulfilled, God sends prophets to say, this is the fulfillment. Remember John the Baptist. He says, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness because Jesus is now coming. So it's time for these prophecies to fulfill in our time, in our days. So these specifics are given so that everyone online knows, everyone who here knows, this is the word of the Lord. And prophecy, like anyone who studies prophecy will understand this. Prophecy is not guessing. Prophecy is not vague. Maybe this will happen somewhere, someplace a tsunami is going to happen. Of course tsunami will happen. It always happens. Somewhere, someplace an earthquake is happening. Of course! Look at the seismological side. Every day there's an earthquake, except it doesn't hit population centers, so it doesn't come in the news. You need specifics. Prophecy that is vague is not prophecy. In the Bible, when they speak certain things, they give them sometimes timeline. They say, this is it and this is it. Look at Gabriel talking to Daniel. Was he vague? No. He even specified which countries the Antichrist cannot go into. Edom, Ammon, and Moab. Correct? Very specific. No guessing game. And those are the countries in Jordan. Modern Jordan today. Where it will be the headquarters of Enoch, Elijah, and 144,000. So, in 2000, and when Russia conquers back, just as they are about to deal a death blow to three of the horns, the tsunami strikes. And we know the exact day of that tsunami and earthquake. The only reason God gave us the exact day is to save people before that day, because it's such an important event. So 2029, that's going to happen. And that changes the entire thing. Now, during the war years from 2027 to 2029, as far as we know, so far, three atomic bombs will go off. That's how horrible it will be. Which is why we have to exodus people, we must complete the exodus in 2026. Before the year 2027. By 2027, we are all holding back. We already prepared for the worst. But we must finish the exodus by 2026. Now, we will still have humanitarian work after the tsunami. In fact, I saw the future. Every country became very nice and humble, and everyone was doing humanitarian work. Even the Antichrist. And we saw ourselves that we were in a big ship and we were trying to pick up survivors wherever we can. Picking up survivors. And because there are places you cannot fly into anymore. Airports are gone. No place to land. Only ships can go. And you do not know what the land is like. Everything has shifted. So it's like the world is reset. That's 2029. And so the Antichrist will be behind all those things. And once the tsunami has taken place, Russia rules Europe. Thus, the fulfillment of the remaining horns ruling with Russia. And from 2029 onwards, there are only two world powers left. America is gone. England is gone. UK is gone. Russia and China continue. And they will both fight for influence throughout the whole world. If you can find a map of the world with the tsunami, thank you. They will fight for influence in the world. And in their fight for influence on the world, can you see we paint different colors, different things? Now, this side of the world is gone. And in fact, in Brazil, in Argentina, we saw military coups in the year 2027 to 2034. The war years, we call that, the 7 years of war. We saw military coup. In Brazil, we saw three mafia type of militia try to take over the country. More of the gangsters. Then, there are about 50 over countries in Africa. they will fight and fight and fight until 8 countries are left. They will conquer until left 8 countries. And that's why we put 5 years all over. Now, you can see the colors here. Australia, New Zealand is in a zone on ourselves where the angels are lined up all here and they protect. Even the waters are pristine. And somehow we will have a strong link with China. And because of that, we are left alone. And Canada to a certain extent. And also because we are there. Now, China will start to influence the world, and then Russia will also influence. You see the influence of Russia coming. They will try to influence each other and fight over Africa. Just like proxy war now between Russia and USA. It will be proxy war in Africa between Russia and China for the influence. So as they try to influence the world to be the world influence, all these Southeast Asian countries come under China. But strangely, India and Indonesia is under Russia. We saw all these in vision. So this is the rough map of the influence of Russia. And this little line is the size of the tsunami. Size of the tsunami. Am I still on the screen there? I might walk off the screen there.
They can still see me a little bit. Okay. Yeah, they can still see me. Okay. I was still there, right?
Yes. Only your hand.
My hand. Okay. Don't worry. This is the hand talking here. Okay. That's a lot. Going back there. So that's a rough thing. Now, what will happen? Because today we're talking about the Antichrist. In the end, China and Russia will fight. As you know, somebody has to be number one and both want to be number one. They have to fight until who is number one. Top dog, as usual. A pack of dogs to the front tell who is the top dog. So humans are the same. Countries are the same. In the end, when they fight in 2034, the war will last only a very short time. A couple of years. 1 year or so. 1 year or so, we saw. And then, you know who is the master peacemaker? Take a guess. Antichrist! See, he already was a hero in Russia, he's the one after Russia conquer Europe, is Antichrist again that make peace with everyone. Then he will be the hero that brings peace between them. And China will want to go for peace because Russia will be winning. Russia conquer half of Mongolia, we saw. When Russia conquer half of Mongolia, Chinese, being aware, practical people know if Mongolia gone, they will be gone soon. So they quickly sue for war, sue for peace. And the Antichrist will be in war. Peacemaker again. So look, he's going to be a hero again. That's why he began to influence the world. So everyone look, wow, man of peace. And all the time, he and the false prophet, very clever strategy. They will both not go to Israel. In fact, they won't go. Not until 2055. I'll tell you why. So they will just keep building their portfolio. The Jews will be watching them. Who are these people? Who are these people? And they see them rise in the world to prominence. Then at the same time, the Sunnis and Shiites, you know, they are fighting all the time. And in 2027, 2029, as far as we know, there are 3 nuclear bombs that go off. See, we are very precise. The first shot will be shot by Iran. And we have been talking this since 2012. You can go back to our historical tapes. Before Iran even has those agreements about nuclear thing and all those things. So now we're just repeating some things. Iran will shoot one nuclear bomb towards Saudi Arabia. And it will hit Riyadh. Destroy a large part of it.
then
Saudi Arabia will shoot one back and hit Tehran. Two nuclear bombs. Boom, boom. The Europeans are fighting, but they don't use nuclear war. Nuclear bomb. They use conventional weapon. So when they hear nuclear bomb go off, they all were shocked for a moment. Say, what kind of world are we living now? In 2024 to 2027. Then, one more nuclear bomb is shot by Pakistan towards India. It will hit New Delhi. Horrible times, don't you think so? So far, the only country that has been nuclear bombed in a war is Japan, two nuclear bombs. This coming war is a horrible war. It doesn't even have two sides. You don't have Axis versus Allied. No, the whole world wants to fight each other. The whole world wants portions to themselves. Everyone fighting everyone. And you know who brings peace to the Sunni and Shiites? Guess again. Yes! I don't know how he does it. It looks impossible, correct? But his gift is his ability to be a diplomat and to talk. And convince people. Of course, the demons are behind. All those people say, agree with him. Something like that. Oh. And he brings peace to those two. He will be a hero to them. I have a glimpse of what it is. Not full. A glimpse. You know how the Muslims are looking for their Messiah? The super Iman? They will view him as the one. So when he speaks, they will listen. If you know the Shiites are like the Catholics, the Sunnis are like the Protestants. Sunnis are followers of the book, their Quran. Shiites are followers of the book and descendants of Muhammad. So whoever is a descendant of Muhammad claims up ancestry from there, and Ayatollah, then they will listen to him. Just like Catholics today. The Pope and the Bible are both equal. So if the Pope passed a law against the Bible, Pope is also right. See? It's their way of Catholicism versus Protestantism. Can you imagine? He could unite them. I was small little glimpse to see that he unites them based on his being, his person. So the only logic that I could see him doing it was to like show himself as a Messiah to them. The great Iman that is with there, they're waiting for. He comes and I am the one. Because both sides listen. If he could claim some ancestry, he has. Plus he could quote some verses, that's it. If he's the one. But he succeeds. Can you see the world becoming more and more peaceful? But not the kind of peace that we are looking for. The peace of the one world government. The rise of the Antichrist. And so he does that. By 2034, he's already very prominent. He succeeds. With Russia, China, with that. And then, in 2048, he will go into the religious way. Not that he is unite politics. Come on, the whole world is under Russia and China. Once you get those two, you got the whole world. But the religious world, when he succeeds with the Sunni and the Shiite, he will attempt to also succeed in all religions. And he will go into all religions and start uniting them. The last two, Christianity and Judaism. So he will come to them, Christianity and Judaism, and Christianity first. 2048. You know that the Antichrist and the false prophet are clever. They don't get together. You don't see them together, but they're working for each other. and a false prophet for him. But they are very smart in their strategy. They do not get together, and you know the first time they get together? When the Pope invites them. I saw that it's not exactly this present Pope. So it looks like this present Pope will also die and go to hell. But another one rising who will be in favor of them, of him. He already has his people planted inside. And he was invited by this new Pope that exists in 2048. And he will unite all religions, including Christianity, under him. Well, the world very peaceful at that time. No more war. All religions united. Only leave one more. You know which one? Judaism. And they have never been to Israel. He will be, Israel will be watching. I mean, he's done so many things. Then in 2055, Israel will invite him as the Messiah. And he will go into Israel. On the day that he goes to Israel, the angel who came in the time of Solomon, and he's still there in the ruins of the temple. If you visit Israel today, and you go to Jerusalem, where the site of the Temple Mount is, where the former temple is, you will see the cherubim still there. Never move. And when the Antichrist stepped in, the cherubim will move. For the first time after Solomon's temple, he will move and he will go to the site of where the Ark of the Covenant is. And that will be the center of the work of Enoch, Elijah. And then when he goes in, once he's welcomed in, he will build, quote unquote, the third temple. And the third temple will not be a revised Jewish synagogue. The third temple will be a temple for all mankind and all religions. Part of it will be from Baha'i, which has its headquarters in Mount Carmel, which of course is for all, he's trying to unite all religions also. But the thing is his ability to unite, and that will be his finale. There will be several confrontations that he will have with us. Somewhere around 2048, when he unites with Christianity, that is when some level of persecution will come against our churches worldwide. By that time is very late already. Some of you are wondering, how old are you in 2048?
About
67. Okay. Still under 70. So, seems long, but time passes fast. 2048, another level of persecution. Because everybody say, why you don't join? Why are you not there? We all will be out there telling him, he's the Antichrist. But he can never go into any place where we set up our HQ church all over the world and places of refuge. He cannot go in at all. Completely cannot go in because of New Jerusalem glory. There's a new level of New Jerusalem glory. And that's is the overall scenario that we have seen about the future. Quite far out, we saw the future.
all the way to the future, giving you important dates of what the Antichrist has done. You can see the master plan that he has. And then Ariel saw something that happened in the tribulation. That one, we might talk about it, since today we have covered a lot of points. According to here, I've been preaching for 2 hours, but it felt like half an hour. So, but we have given you the overall rise of Antichrist, rise of the glorious church. And there is a confrontation between. And now as I speak, some of you say, oh, Pastor Johan, you're the one confronting him. Oh no, you too. You too, every one of you too. Remember, we got 2/3 of the population of the earth. And there will always be places they try to cross boundaries which we don't like, spiritual boundaries that is. And all of you who are trained in the Lord will have the power to be equipped. And now I could imagine Cynthia running around. Not with guns and missiles, we don't need that. All you need is your Bible and your prayer ability. And you can call down fire from on high. But don't simply call down for human beings. Burn. No. We got to say, hey, we got to take you off and teach you how to have love. You only do that on the works of the Antichrist. And one of the greatest revival will be, we will be demonstrating all the fullness of God's peace, love, and joy. And His glory. And His wisdom. And the supernatural things in God. So the glorious church will rise to its brightest, while the world will go to the darkness. But the darkness will look like light. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Remember, He's the Antichrist. The world won't see the anti part. We are the only one who see the anti part. Because it looks like a good thing. So the world will say, hey, well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not a good thing. Because behind it is the worship of Satan. That is the killer. Even now, they are planting people as Satan worshippers in Judaism. They're planting Satan worshippers in the Catholicism to get the system to him. And most synagogues are facing east. But in Capernaum, there's a synagogue that faces the west. The reason? Satan worshippers. You will find one in Capernaum. And Satanism will creep in. Not under the guise of Church of Satan, which is very obvious, but creeping in many other guise. It will look good to the world. Because when we enter the age of supernatural, angels will make themselves known. And supernatural things happen. People will think, wow, you know what it's like? It's like the whole world enter into age of, forgive me for using these words because I've got no other words, magic. You know, like magic becomes true. Like, you know, people can change shape. This can happen. But it's not magic. For us, it's the practice of the laws of the faith and the Bible. For the enemy is yielding to fallen angels and demons. But it's a different world. We will be different. We will look like very supernatural beings. But not because of us. Because of the Spirit of God. Remember, I asked you the question. Do you believe that the resurrection life is in your physical body? One correct answer based on Romans 8:11. Which brings me to my second question. If the resurrection life of Jesus, I'm talking about His resurrection life, not even the life of Adam. Didn't the resurrection life of Jesus conquer death? Didn't the resurrection life, and before He was resurrected, He could heal the sick. How much more His resurrection life that conquered death? Now, how come the resurrection life that is in our physical body has not been changing us for 2,000 years? How come we have the resurrection life of Jesus in physical body and we still got sick? Isn't it against logic? The only logic is the resurrection life is not at work, therefore you're sick. So the question comes, why is it not working? Of course, the people of faith try to believe, 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 confess, unbelieve, confess, and still die. We need the revelation, the revealing of the manifestations of God. And that's what Jesus came to bring in Hebrews chapter 2. He became the captain of salvation to bring many sons to glory. The original master plan of God, hidden from the ages, revealed in our time, was to reveal the fullness of his glory at the same time Satan sent the Antichrist. And not by our works, not by our intelligence, not by our wisdom, not by all our ability, but purely because we have lived in such a time as this, that it is time for God to reveal his glory. And you and I are beneficiaries of that. He has released Pergamos glory, seven times glory, New Jerusalem glory. Now that we have received it by Abraham in faith, although we won't take as long as Abraham to bring it to manifestation, we need to worship God and pray to enter in the fullness. And you know the one main key to enter in? 24-hour worship. 24-hour worship is prayer is good. Many of you are good at prayer. How many of you are good at worship? By worship, I don't mean you need to sing or you have good voice or can play music instrument. Because it's the worship of John chapter 4 when Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And I'll close with this verse in Hebrews 2 when he talks about the bringing many sons of captivity, and then we go into a time of prayer till the morning at 6. It says here in verse 10, it was fitting for him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons of glory. That's talking about the same thing Romans 8 talk about. To make the captain of their suffering perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Well, he calls us brothers, saying, I will declare your name, that is the Father's name, to my brethren. So he's talking about the Father's name being declared to us, being revealed to us. You might not appreciate this first statement, but the revealing of God's name equals the revealing of God. I repeat again. The revealing of God's name equals the revealing of God. Remember how God told Moses that in Abraham's time, God did not reveal himself as Yahweh. He only revealed himself as El Shaddai. That is after Moses complained when the Egyptian Pharaoh did not release him, then he complained, then God talked about that. He says, I did not reveal my name Yahweh to Abraham. Although the word Yahweh appears in the Old Testament because it's written by Moses. But Abraham did not know God as Yahweh. He knew God as El Shaddai. But to Moses, God revealed as Yahweh because God is revealing something higher. So whenever God reveals a name, when Jesus came, he revealed God as the Father. Although it's a simple word, but it's a higher revelation of God. So he's saying, I declare your name to my brethren. He's declaring his highest possible revelation. And in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Jesus is going to worship through us. He's going to bring the heavenly worship of the four living creatures into us. So that 24 hours we could feel and sense the spirit of worship. Now, hearing and sensing the worship in you is part of letting you become a worshiper. Because by the time you sing the song, you're just outwardly singing what is inside you. So the key is to develop the ability to be worshippers 24 hours. You're always worshipping God. Always worshipping God. And afterward, when we go into prayer, although we call it all-night prayer, part of it is you need to worship God. Hear His worship from the throne room of the four living creatures and of heavenly worship, and let it vibrate through your being. And as you continue to let that flow, the manifestation of the sons of God will increase in your life and be revealed to bring you the fullness of God. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Establish your work over each heart and each life. These are the times of the glorious church. We have come to the point and place, and this very physical place that you have given to us. We thank you for the vision, and we claim this. All this place, we claim for you. In Jesus' name. And you say that every place where our feet trod belongs to us. We claim this. And we claim the other place that sits 4,000. Thank you, Father. Set your seal upon that. Father, let 24-hour worship rise from this very place. Let it rise from our heart first, Father, as we enter the fullness of your glorious church. Here where you have chosen to put the outpouring of the third great awakening, the first part, and many parts. Let it be unto us according to your spoken word and vision. Let it be so. Here we stand, and here we pray, and here we worship. And we will worship you until all these things take place in the years to come. Let it be so, Father. Amen to everything you say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise. We'll sing a simple song and then we go to prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. With my hands lifted up and my heart filled with praise, I will bless thee, O Lord. 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 With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. Now just pray and sing in the Spirit, and we bless those online. Alleluia, Raha, Sheria, Sheria, Lana, Hasana. Kiliani ging iliasalara mashti Siri Allah.